שומעים אותי? שומעים אותי? שומעים אותי עכשיו? אוקיי. אני אדבר באנגלית, אז יש מישהו שצריך תרגום מאנגלית לעברית? זה בסדר, אפשר. Just wave a hand. אוקיי. So the title of the talk tonight will be How to Stay Steady and Open in an Insecure World. And there is the great mystery that we are collected together from the universe. We are sort of put together from the universe into a body and then left to struggle to stay that way. We're in this body for a brief moment. The universe put us together, collected hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, energy, and made a person, or an ant, or a beetle, or a bird, and then it's gone. Very, very basic recipe or conditions that would mean that we are constantly busy with survival. It's just in the nature of things. And because of that, we all have a very deep primal fear and anxiety and concern and what will be. And it's very deep and very primal, and every ant has it, and every insect has it, and every bird has it, and every animal has it, and every amoeba has it, and even the coronavirus floating around will say, I need to survive, I need to infect a few more people, I need to stay around. Basically, psychologist or neuroscientist today would say that the basic state, the background state of the brain is mild anxiety. And the Buddha said it a long time ago. He said, always anxious and agitated is this mind. And that's the name of the game. That's what we're faced with. It's interesting. Some of you may have seen an interview I did in Haaretz newspaper in the summer. And I asked the journalist, Ayelet Chani, what's the subject that you want to concentrate on? What's the main thing that you feel is important? And she said, a sense of insecurity. Can you relate to that? And so the interview was a lot about that. So the Buddha, when faced with that, and he was saying that the mind is always anxious about things that happened, or things that might happen, or difficulties that we are experiencing right now. And the only way to really overcome that fear is quite radical, which is awakening, which is waking up. And he said, if you want to be steady in this life, like an island in the stormy seas, then the one place you can do it is by meeting the truth of things as they are. He didn't say it by covering up. He didn't say by going off and going to spend your evenings with Netflix. He didn't say that denial. He said the truth of things. Well, we may say the truth of things isn't very pleasant. The truth of things is insecurity. Not quite. The truth of things is not insecurity. The truth of things, is life. And he basically, the Buddha said, meet your life with open arms, welcoming this experience as it is, welcoming this moment as you live it, with a big heart and a big mind, and that's the end of primal fear and insecurity. So we need to cut through the illusion that we are desperate for safety, for security. And it means expanding awareness. And it means when we expand our awareness in a natural way, we will become less disturbable by life, because our awareness will be bigger and more connected and more intimate with the reality, with the world as it is, with our life, with our death. We will find intimacy in this life, and that will be instead of the sense of insecurity. I need to survive, I need to be busy. I was joking that when on our grave, maybe the gravestone of this civilization, which is struggling with the climate change and so on, but on the gravestone it will be written, causes of death, business as usual. So we coming out of business as usual. I would say busyness as usual. Coming out of there, cutting through that illusion that if we're busy, trying to stop the uncertainty, it'll be all right. It will not be all right. But if we look and see deeply our life as we live it, it will be all right. With an eye that is direct, clear, heartful, and loving. So it's possible, completely possible, to find this deep peace right in the middle of our life, wherever we are, however we are. And this really is the meaning of equanimity. So equanimity comes from the word equal in English, and it really means being steady. It doesn't mean making everything equal, like a neutral. It doesn't mean that. But it means being in the flow and change of things, but not destroyed by it. It's not a resistance to difficulty. It's allowing difficulty in, like the Buddha, the picture of the Buddha with big ears is because he could hear, his equanimity is so big that he could hear the suffering of all beings in a mythological sense, and it didn't destroy him. And if you could imagine the cry and the call of all beings on this planet, whoa. It's difficult enough to hear the cry of this one being called us. But hearing our pain and others' pain and staying present, available, open, but not destroyed, not knocked over, staying steady in the middle of everything, not denying it, not pushing it away. In Hebrew, it's not really shivyon nefesh, which would have a sense of, in English you say, water off a duck's back, meaning the duck doesn't get wet in the water. It's not that. It's not not disconnecting. It's allowing ourselves to get wet in the middle of life, but it doesn't destroy us. It doesn't build story, drama, results, pain, constant loops in the mind, blame, guilt, increasing fears, etc., etc. Tail of results. It doesn't do that. We feel the pain. We're right there in the present moment with pain. We're not pushing anything away, but it doesn't work inside us and destroy us. So it's there right at the beginning of our practice, in the way that we can see the truth of things, right at the beginning, being aware and mindful, we say, okay, my back hurts. Now I'm ready to look and see what my back is telling me. Instead of this automatic responses, go to the doctor or complain or bitch at somebody or give ourselves or other people a hard time. No, turn towards. Allow our experience. This is happening. The first experience of mindfulness is about this. So equanimity is right there in that. But it's also a very high state, close to awakening. Because at that place, it's where you and the world are basically one. And from the place of oneness, then no one can hurt anyone. Nothing can be hurt. Who is going to hurt whom? There isn't a place to be hurt. The world and you are together. So from that togetherness of you and the world, which is our more deep practice, the sense of a being absorbed into the world, and then equanimity comes from that, because you are the world. So it goes all the state, equanimity grows and grows and grows all through our practice. That since you've all been on retreats before, you know the three characteristics, but they are classic places where the truth is seen. And because we see the truth of things rather than illusion, rather than invention, fabrication, constructions of the world, we see the things as they are. And this is already the invitation for equanimity or steadiness. The three characteristics, dukkha is the first one. And dukkha is dissatisfaction. And being in a form, being born in a body, like I said before. Being kicked out of the universe, thrown out of the universe into a body, and then back to the universe again. We will have struggle. But it's why I mentioned the universe, not because I like the word universe, but because something about it is not personal. It's just being born in a body there will be some experience of dukkha. We can't avoid it. So it's a truth of things that if we meet dukkha, meaning dissatisfaction, pain, unpleasant experiences, if we meet them as they are, we're already in a place which is bigger than me needing to struggle. It's something universal itself. The sources of pain and difficulty are called the worldly winds in the Dharma language. Winds of the world, which every animal will have, every insect. The wind of the world, meaning I need something I don't like, I need pleasant, not unpleasant, I want to live and not to die, I want to be loved and not to be rejected, etc. These are basic needs of biological needs, all beings, so we don't have to take it too personally if we feel difficulty. And dukkha helps us to see, it's a kind of compass, direction, where I need to look, where I need to practice, what I need to meet. So meeting dukkha as it is, meeting difficulty as it is, with open eyes and a big heart, and looking directly, and allowing difficulty without judgment and without building out of its stories and so on. A lot of equanimity comes from that. We don't need to add difficulty. We don't tell you have to sit here on nails like the yogis in India. You have a nice cushion. We don't add difficulty, ascetism, sakvanut. Because difficulty is going to be there in a thought. Just a disturbing thought is enough. But we allow it, and we catch it. And we catch it quickly, if possible. This moment has got a label in it called unpleasant. Okay, I'm ready to see you. I'm ready to meet you. I'm ready to know you. A voice of unpleasant, not pleasant. And once we do that, equanimity follows very naturally, because we're in a bigger place, allowing pain and pleasure, like and not like, pleasant, unpleasant, and being bigger than all of that. And we're already in another place. Anicca is the second of the three characteristics. Again, you know about it already, but I want to remind you that it's about seeing that nothing is fixed and nothing is permanent, nothing is solid, everything is arising and passing, including me, this being. It's constantly changing like a kaleidoscope. This self is where we're a moving object. All the time, reinventing ourselves, recreating ourselves, we're like a fountain, not an object. The Buddha called a person a vortex in the ocean. Marbolit in Hebrew. The Buddha said, a person is a marbolet in the ocean, just a vortex, goes round, that's all, and then it disappears. So we can see that. I'm just a spinning bit of water. When we look closely at anicca, passing by of things, we look closely, we see everything is created by the conditions that make this moment, and then the conditions change, and so our experience changes. So it helps us really to sense that everything is a flow and everything is passing and everything is moving. So what's the problem? Everything is just passing by, including me. So we understand that, we feel that, the movement of things. Again, it helps us to move to the big picture, to get a sense of, yeah, everything is changing, everything is moving. So I can be there with that, watching the movie, watching the show, watching the big play, Hatsaga. And it involves very much non-control, not the pressure to control things. There's a story from the stories of Helm, and that I heard recently about all the people in Helm got very cold, and they were really trying to kind of deal with their cold, and they did some stupid things, so they didn't have any wood to burn anymore. So they all decided to build a wall around the village to keep out the cold. So the whole village went up there and they built, and they built a wall around the village to keep out the cold. And then, of course, because they built, they got hot. So they said, you see, it works. We can't build a wall against the life. We can just be not in the illusion of trying to stop the flow of things. Let things flow and pass. Even though we want to hang on to things naturally, we attach, we want to hang on. But if we allow things to be the way they are, slowly, slowly, step by step, we see things flowing and passing. There is a big source of equanimity, of steadiness in life. Yes, it's all changing. Yes, I'm ready for that. And again, we're in a different position. And the third is anatta, arising and passing of me, the me. And it's basically, again, you know this, it's basically less identification with things, less feeling that it's me that I have to hold the pain. It's all on my poor little shoulders. I have to be different. I have to be better. I have to be... We begin to realize it's experience is phenomena. Tofa'ot, phenomena, coming and going. And I don't have to take it personally. And because I don't take things personally, I don't have to carry everything. I can put things down and let life carry me and the things and let life carry. I don't have to carry everything on my shoulders. Yes, you can feel pain, loss, hurt, wounded. I had an experience of that today. Of myself. So I might have to go to England, fly in a few days to the UK for something personal. My whole family had different views about that. And they all my children and grandchildren started to say, this one said, you must go. The other one said, you mustn't go. This is not good. You have to go. You mustn't go. And I was like this. And I spent quite a few hours today in dilemma. And then all of a sudden I thought, my God, I'm teaching about how to make decisions. I've got all these wonderful techniques of how to make decisions instant. I call them little births. And here I am in dilemma because everyone's telling me these things. How means I'm a failure? I don't practice my own teaching. But the second thought was, no, I'm a human being. And sometimes I won't practice my own teaching because I'm a human being. And what lovely to be a human being who fails now and then and who's just fine with the success or failure and doesn't care that I have to be the perfect. And I thought, that's equanimity. I can fail and it's fine, you know, or succeed and it's fine. And what's the difference? So it's a small example. Equanimity is more important than feeling shame or blame or this. Equanimity helps you get really in another place completely. And we do practice it. We do practice it right at the beginning in a way of our practice, anatta. We say, oh, it's very high and it's very mysterious and it's non-self and it's emptiness and so on. But wait a minute. Just breathing. You begin to realize that the breath is coming and going by itself from the world, inside, outside. It's all happening by itself. I don't need to interfere. I cannot interfere anyway. And right there, just breathing and being aware of our breathing is already a lesson in anatta and a lesson in equanimity. Here I am. I don't have to be controlling. The breath is just doing me. It's breathing me. I can let go. So basically, in this retreat, we'll be practicing mindful awareness. And equanimity will be a kind of at the back as exploration, as a question at the back of the mind, as a discovery, as something that we don't have to chase it, but just allow. Be interested in equanimity. Just be interested in it. Be interested in this sense of being steady in the middle of life. What does that mean? How is that? We practice mindful awareness of breath and body. Can we feel I'm dancing in a changing experience? Everything is changing and I'm dancing with it. That's equanimity. I don't need to control it. I don't need to judge it. So I kind of finish with that, with a message that equanimity is deeply allowing life to be what it is without the pressure to fix it, to get it better, that things should be something else, to resist it, to control it. But yes, to engage fully with it, to be right in the middle of life, this mystery, without the pressure that it has to be like that or the other, without the pressure that it should be some other way, or that we want to control it. It's like the weather, like the gentle wind, like the cold wind on the cheeks as we go out of the hall. It's just touching us. And all we need to do is be there with it and dance with it, allow it all. So let's take a little time of quiet. we really get close. We dive in this moment. Especially to the experience of breath and body. Fully aware and awake. Welcoming the experiences that arise. And feel our kind and wise heart is showing us our life.